Now, a special presentation from WBNS 10 TV, ONN, and the Columbus Dispatch. This is Campaign 2010, the Senatorial Debate. Sponsored by the Ohio Newspaper Organization, a coalition of the 8 largest newspapers in the state of Ohio. Live from WOSU at COSI Studios in downtown Columbus, here's your moderator, WBNS 10 TV news anchor, Jerry Revish.
And good evening, and thank you for joining us for Campaign 2010, the senatorial debate in Columbus. This is the last senatorial debate before voters go to the polls on November 2nd to elect Ohio's next U.S. Senator. You'll hear from the two major candidates this evening. Lee Fisher is the Democratic candidate for Senate and the current Lieutenant Governor of Ohio. Rob Portman is the Republican candidate for Senate and a former U.S. Congressman. Our panel this evening was chosen by the Ohio Newspaper Organization. Let's introduce our panelists. Darrow Rowland with the Columbus Dispatch. David Skolnick, the Vindicator in Youngstown. Ray Kuklis with the Cincinnati Inquirer. And Jim Provins from the Blade in Toledo. Now, each campaign has agreed upon the rules and regulations set up for this debate. We'll begin this evening with a 2-minute opening statement. Candidates have 2 minutes to answer questions posed by the panelists. The opposing candidate has 1 minute for a response. Questions alternate between Mr. Fisher and Mr. Portman. Now, toward the end of the hour, each candidate will be permitted a 2-minute closing statement. A coin toss has determined the order for this debate. And Mr. Fisher will go first. It's time to begin with opening statements. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Jerry, and thanks for letting us be here tonight. Everywhere I go in Ohio, people are as mad as hell, and they should be. They've lost their jobs, and they see jobs being shipped overseas. They've lost their savings, and they see Wall Street banks being bailed out. They can't seem to get a fair shake, and yet they see millionaires getting their tax break. Well, in this election, you have a very, very clear choice. You can choose someone who's been on the ground in every corner of this state, working to save jobs in the middle of this national recession, and who's just as angry as you are at the Washington insiders who caused this recession. Or you can choose my opponent, Congressman Portman, who the Washington Post calls Mr. Washington. Why? Well, he's served there for 20 years as a lobbyist for foreign countries. He's also served as a congressman and as George Bush's trade czar and as George Bush's budget czar. And I think Ohioans have a right to be a little upset, maybe even angry, that Congressman Portman voted for increasing his own pay, but he would always or usually vote against the minimum wage or against extending unemployment benefits for those out of work. He wanted to gamble with your Social Security in the stock market. He voted for tax breaks to send jobs for large corporations overseas. As George Bush's trade czar, he let China dump cheap stuff into America. And as George Bush's budget czar, well, he allowed our national debt to go up by more than $1 billion a day. You know, I think that it's fair to say that Congressman Portman is not angry. He's satisfied. Because the people supporting him, the Wall Street lobbyists, the Washington banks, the Wall Street banks, they're doing just fine. Well, I'm not going there to carry their water. I'm not going there to curry their favor. I'm going there to fight for you. I'm Lee Fisher. I'm not satisfied. I'm mad as hell, and none of us should take it anymore.
Mr. Portman, it's your turn for an opening statement.
Great, Jerry. Thank you very much, and I appreciate the Ohio Newspaper Association for allowing us to have this opportunity to talk directly to Ohio voters. And it's about a really important choice. Look, if you like the way things are going, if you think we're headed in the right direction, you should probably support my opponent. If you're ready for a change, if you believe there's a better way, I hope you'll join our cause. You just heard from my opponent, Lee Fisher. He's on the attack tonight, and he will be all night. He believes in change, too. He wants to change the subject from his record and from the policies that he supports. That's why he's on the attack. They're not good for Ohio. I believe the status quo is not working. He represents the status quo here in Ohio as Lieutenant Governor, Director of Development. He also is supporting the status quo in Washington. I believe there's a better way. I believe there's a better way to actually get health care costs down, a better way to help working families and small businesses and give our economy the needed shot in the arm through payroll tax relief. I believe we need to get our spending under control, stop the out-of-control spending, and we can do it. I believe we need to stop our dependence on foreign oil. There's a better way to do that, and there's a better way to create private sector jobs. Lieutenant Governor Fisher has been both Lieutenant Governor and the Director of Economic Development in Ohio during the last 4 years. In fact, he calls himself the point person for jobs in Ohio at a time when we've lost 400,000 jobs in Ohio, and our unemployment rate has nearly doubled. I don't think that's a good record. I've been all over Ohio. I've walked the half-empty factory floors. I was at one today, Columbus, Ohio. I've talked to the families who've been devastated by this job loss. You don't have to believe me. You can talk to Governor Ted Strickland, who tells us that Ohio is falling behind. He says that Lee Fisher's Department of Development has both been too slow and too inefficient and hasn't gotten the job done. I'm just as concerned, maybe even more, about his support of the Reid-Pelosi-Obama agenda in Washington, because it's not helping Ohio. He supports the health care law. He supports the stimulus package. He wants to raise taxes on small business. This is not helping Ohio. There is a better way.
We now start the question portion of the debate, and Darrell will ask the first question, which goes to Mr. Fisher.
Good evening, Mr. Fisher. You've repeatedly made the point, and in fact you did so in your opening statement tonight, that Ohio is in a national recession to explain that loss of jobs over the past years. But your opponent and many others claim that many of those jobs are actually going to other states, not simply disappearing, not going overseas someplace. Is that claim true or false?
It's true only to the extent that every state has jobs that go to other states. But here's the real truth. 8 million jobs have been lost during this national recession. Every state, whether it has a Republican governor or a Democratic governor or lieutenant governor, has lost jobs because of the policies that Congressman Portman not only supported but was one of the chief architects of for 20 years. Tax breaks for large companies to send jobs overseas. What's the result? 100,000 jobs just because of the China trade deficit, 50,000 jobs just because of the NAFTA agreement that he voted for. You know, if you take a look at those figures that he relies on, well, it's Washington math. I'll tell you why. Because if you look at what's called the trade adjustment figures, which really relates to what, how you determine whether or not jobs have been sent overseas, they pale in comparison. Bottom line is far more jobs have gone overseas than have gone to any other state. And let's also remember this. We've been in many multi-state competitions, and Ohio has won most of those competitions. Whether it's Amlin Pharmaceuticals, whether it's Goodyear, whether it's Bridgestone Firestone, we compete with states all around the country every year, and we've won far more than we've lost, and we're proud of that. But we're never satisfied. Why? Because if you're unemployed, the unemployment rate isn't 10%, it's 100%. And until we change the national policies, give the tax breaks of the large companies to send their jobs overseas, the unfair trade practices that allow China to dump cheap products so that everywhere we go in central Ohio, it says made in China, not made in the USA. Until we stop giving the tax breaks to the millionaires, but instead give tax breaks to small businesses and to the middle class, then no matter how hard we work, no matter what we do on the state level, it's not going to be enough, which is why I want to go to Washington, D.C. and change the very policies that he helped write for 20 years.
Mr. Portman, your response.
Well, as I said earlier, Ohio has fallen behind. And again, when Governor Strickland was responding to a story in the Toledo Blade, Jim Province, about all the companies that have left Ohio to go to other states, places like Indiana, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, he said in response to that, yes, the Department of Development has been too slow and too inefficient. And that's what's happened. We've fallen behind. And look, we're top 10 in the country. But it's not a top 10 you want to be in. Top 10 in terms of the highest unemployment in the country. More than 40 states are doing better than us. I don't know how you can say that we're doing better. Jim Tressel has a pretty good record this year at Ohio State. The Buckeyes are 6-0. If the Buckeyes instead were 1-5, do you think Jim Tressel would be talking about how great things are? That's where we are right now. Lieutenant Governor Fisher seems to want to talk about the one game and what a great job he's done to win some competitions. The fact is, Ohio is losing ground, and we need to catch up. And one thing we need to do is not promote policies in Washington that he's promoting that makes it harder to get ahead in Ohio.
Thank you. The second question comes from Dave for Mr. Portman. Dave?
Mr. Portman, you were one of President George W. Bush's point men when you served in the House. You left Congress to work for the Bush administration for 2 years at two different positions. Do you consider the Bush administration to be a success, and why?
Well, it's a mixed bag. I think the Bush administration was a success in terms of focusing on the war on terror after 9/11. I think nobody would have thought we wouldn't have had another attack on this country since then. I think in terms of spending, frankly, Democrats and Republicans alike took their eye off the ball, particularly after 9/11. I think the Bush administration didn't focus enough on the spending. When I was the budget director for a year in 2007, a month after I got there, I sent the first letter to Capitol Hill that had been sent in the Bush administration saying the president will veto a spending bill. He then did veto his first spending bill, and guess what? The spending got under control. Congress stopped sending bills that were over that spending limit. I also put all earmarks online. Earmarks had increased dramatically under the Clinton administration and under the Bush administration. Once we put them all online, that great disinfectant of sunlight worked, and you saw earmarks being reduced, which was better for our spending. So there were some good things, some bad things, as was in any administration. But my point now is that we need to move Ohio forward with policies that make sense for Ohio. My opponent supports the health care legislation that passed the Congress. It's a big government approach. It's a job killer in Ohio. It's strangling job growth in small businesses. I hear about it every day. I heard about it again today at a small business in Columbus. I heard about it at a small business roundtable last week in his hometown of Cleveland. This is keeping people from hiring because they don't want to hire new people because of the health care costs that are embedded in it. And it's higher health care costs because of the health care legislation, not lower. He was a strong supporter of the stimulus package, $800 billion, which took us further into debt and into record deficits. But at the same time, Ohio has lost nearly 150,000 jobs since the stimulus was passed. How can you call that a success? And he supports now, as we're trying to climb out of this recession, new taxes on Ohio small businesses. I was with a business owner today who told me that he's thinking about trying to expand. He was at 160 employees before the recession hit. Now he's at about 110. He's worried about doing it because his taxes may go up at year end, thanks to Lee Fisher and others like him.
Mr. Fisher, your response.
George Bush was a nice man, but he was a disaster as a president, and no one was closer to George W. Bush than Mr. Washington, Congressman Portman. He voted with George W. Bush more than 95% of the time. George W. Bush, and these are his words, not mine, described him as his pack mule who took every piece of legislation he wanted and carried it through Congress. If you go to tonight, even during this debate, I challenge you to go to Rob Portman's website he always talks about in the debate and see if you see the name Bush. See if it says he was Bush's trade czar or budget director. He's running away from his past, but he can't do that. He was there for 20 years. He was the architect of the policies that gave tax breaks to large companies to send jobs overseas. He was the trade czar. He didn't just support the trade policies that dumped made-in-China products into America. He was the architect of those policies. You know, the slowest growth decade we've had since World War II, the 10 years after George Bush enacted his tax cuts. I think that says a lot about the policies that Rob Portman wants and the policies that Lee Fisher wants.
The third question will be asked by Ray for Mr. Fisher. Ray?
Mr. Fisher, candidates constantly talk about how they're going to go to Washington and work in a bipartisan fashion and cross the aisle to get work done. And yet Congress right now is about as polarized, it seems to be as polarized as anybody's seen it in a long time. And even a lot of the rules and understandings under which it operates seem to be broken down. Do you agree with this? And if so, what would you do about it?
You know, I think people are more angry right now at Washington than they are at either of our two political parties. They're angry at those people who have lost touch with Ohio, who have been there like Congressman Portman for more than 20 years, who get all hung up in the trappings of Washington and all the fancy rules like the filibuster, who engage in partisanship, even ending up voting against things they're for. Perfect example, bipartisan commission to reduce the deficit. The Republicans were for it until the Democrats were for it, and then all but George Voinovich, to his credit, voted against it. You know, I'm not afraid to stand up to my own party. I'm proud to be a Democrat, but my values as a Democrat guide me. They don't anchor me. It's why I didn't have any hesitation to challenge President Obama when he said he wanted 30,000 more troops into Afghanistan. I want to fight al-Qaeda everywhere, every day, 24/7, but I don't think that's the right way to do it. I wasn't afraid to stand up and say to the president that I thought he was wrong with regard to the way cap and trade was written. That's a fancy way of saying that we can't hurt coal states and manufacturing states. And so I stood up to members of my own party. I've done that for years. But let's look over here. If you're really looking for somebody who is going to go the party line Every time the Democrats have said anything, anything, even a small business bill that would bring $55 million to Ohio small businesses, tax cuts and loans. George Voinovich, to his credit, stood up to his own party and said, I'm for this. It'll help small businesses. What did Congressman Portman do? He did what he always does. He does what his party leadership tells him to do, whether it's George Bush or whether it'll be Mitch McConnell or anyone else. That's not what you want. If you want to get rid of the partisanship, you need people who are not only willing to work across the aisle, which I've done my entire career and successfully, but even more importantly than working across the aisle is standing up to the people who support you. In his case, the Wall Street banks. In his case, the Washington lobbyists. I don't think he'll stand up for them. In fact, they're standing up for him right now because he's always stood up for them.
Mr. Portman, your response.
Thank you, Jerry. When the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Lee Fisher's hometown newspaper, that knows him best, wrote an editorial recently endorsing me for the United States Senate, they said in this campaign, Lee Fisher has towed the party line. And it's true. And you just heard it tonight. A whole series of attacks. I don't even know where to begin with all the falsehoods that he just talked about. We can go over them later, maybe. But the fact is, his partisan attacks show, Ray, that it's going to be very hard for him to be anything other than partisan in the United States Senate. Look, he can talk the talk, but I've walked the walk. I was in Congress for 12 years. I reached across the aisle to get stuff done all the time. I stuck to my principles, but I worked with the other side of the aisle to get things done. Increasing retirement savings for all Americans, being able to put more money in your 401k or your IRA, 52 new taxpayer rights on a bipartisan basis, new drug prevention strategies and drug treatment strategies, helping people to be able, when they sell their home, not to have to pay capital gains taxes, working on welfare reform and balanced budgets. These were all bipartisan efforts. 12 of my bills were actually signed into law by President Bill Clinton.
Thank you, Mr.
That's what we need right now is more finding more common ground and solving tough problems.
The fourth question is for Mr. Portman. It comes from Jim. Jim?
Mr. Portman, you have said domestic oil and natural gas exploration must be part of the answer to America's dependence on foreign oil. Would that include drilling under Lake Erie, which to date has been off limits in the United States?
Jim, I don't think we need to be drilling under Lake Erie, but I do think we need to do everything we can to use our own resources. As I said earlier, there is a better way for us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. There's also a better way for us to have a cleaner environment and for us to create jobs. And it's pretty exciting. And Ohio can be right at the forefront of it. First, because we have a lot of natural resources here. We have coal in the ground. About 3,400 Ohioans actually are involved directly in the coal mining business. Clean coal technology can create thousands of new jobs, coal gasification, coal liquefaction. Natural gas is under the ground in Ohio. There's just a brand new discovery of a new shale find in Ohio, in West Virginia, Pennsylvania. Now, this will create thousands of new jobs in Ohio if we take away some of the current burdens to be able to explore for it and use it. This is also an exciting opportunity for us because natural gas can make us less dependent on foreign oil, particularly by moving more fleets, taxis and trucks and so on to natural gas, which is actually less expensive than crude oil right now. Nuclear power is a great opportunity for Ohio. We have two nuclear power plants already, but more importantly, we have so many manufacturers in this state who make things for nuclear power. As a nuclear power renaissance gets underway, which I hope will happen and I'll be strongly supporting if I'm elected to the U.S. Senate, Ohio jobs will be created. I've toured several plants in Ohio that are really excited about the movement on nuclear power again because that will create jobs and opportunity here. Green technology is another great opportunity for us. We have a lot of idle space right now in our factories. As I said, I've toured factories that are half empty. To be able to move toward wind turbine production here in Ohio, green technology in terms of solar. Recently, we were in Toledo visiting First Solar. That's a great opportunity for us because there's an opportunity using our manufacturing expertise in Ohio and the great trained workforce we have to be able to benefit from the new energy economy. So, Jim, I think it's a great opportunity for us to be able to develop our own resources, to get away from our dependence on foreign oil, to have a cleaner environment, and to create jobs here in Ohio. And I look forward to working on that if I'm elected to the United States Senate.
Mr. Fisher, your response.
Drilling in Lake Erie would be an awful idea. The greatest resource Ohio has is the fact that we have access to the largest body of fresh water in the world in the Great Lakes. To do anything that would endanger that would be, a crime, and I would never support it. But I will tell you this. Congressman Portman has talked tonight about talking the talk or walking the walk. Well, only one of us on this issue has walked the walk. He can read some books or go on Google and find out what you want to do about clean energy. But I went to First Solar. We helped them expand. I went to Sunlight in Toledo. We helped them expand. We took Cardinal Fastener and Minster Machine, longtime manufacturing companies, and we helped them get the funds and the retooling so they can make the component parts of wind turbines. I represented Ohio for the first time at the American Wind Energy Conference. You know, Governor Strickland and I did something that no governor's ever done before in Ohio. We said that we're going to have a requirement that by the year 2025, 25% of our energy needs have to be met by advanced and renewable energy. One thing to talk about it, a whole other thing to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Jim, you get the fifth question for Mr. Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, how should the nation respond to illegal immigration? Must the answer include a fence along the U.S.-Mexico border or some type of immigrant worker program? Should states like Arizona have the right to go it on their own until Congress acts?
Well, clearly we need a federal solution. Having states deal with this issue is not the right way to go. We should secure our borders. There's no question that illegal immigration is not a good thing, and we should oppose it. In addition to that, we should get tough on those employers who hire illegal aliens and do so flouting the law. But we should also allow those people who are here to earn a path to citizenship. And the way to do that is to have them pay a fine, to learn English, to go back of the line in front of all those people who are legal immigrants. My parents, my wife's grandparents, they are immigrants. We're a nation of immigrants. So I don't want to do anything to hurt legal immigration, but I'm absolutely against illegal immigration. But I want to say something about jobs, because all too often we should be focusing, I think, on the large corporations sending our jobs overseas. Because if you think about it, it doesn't matter what we're talking about if they're not jobs in America that someone can have. I want the jobs in America to be held by those who are legally here. But more importantly, I want their jobs to be here. And if you're giving tax breaks to large companies to send jobs overseas, which he voted for time and time again, if you're negotiating trade agreements that allow China to dump their products into Ohio at cheap prices that undercut workers, undercut manufacturers, maybe they shave a few dollars off a plastic toy at Walmart, but is the price jobs and jobs and jobs and families going into bankruptcy? Of course not. Let's focus first on what policies got us into this recession and focus on those. They are by far and away the most important things we can be talking about in this race for the U.S. Senate, because we can't afford to go back to the same people and the same policies that dug us the deepest economic ditch in most of our lifetimes. That's where our focus must be.
Mr. Portman, your response.
Well, look, when you're in a ditch, when you're in a hole, the first thing you do is you stop digging. And what Lee Fisher just told Ohio is that he wants to increase taxes on Ohio companies, which would result in 17,000 jobs being lost in Ohio based on a study just done by Kenyon College. This tax break he's talking about for companies called me the architect of it. You know who the architect was? John F. Kennedy. If he increases those taxes on companies here in Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton, Toledo, the result will be 17,000 more jobs lost. Look, we've already lost 400,000 jobs. I think that's enough. We need to turn things around. China, he just talked about these trade agreements we have with China. We don't have a trade agreement with China. If we had a trade opening agreement with China, things would be better, because then we'd have more exports going to China. What we need to do in China is get tougher with them. And he ought to call the Obama administration and talk to them about this, because they will not call China a currency manipulator, and they should, because that currency manipulation is hurting jobs right here in Ohio. Our exporters are not able to sell our stuff to China because the current administration is not being tough enough in China on enforcement. They should be.
Ray, you get the sixth question for Mr. Portman.
Mr. Portman, as both of you have just demonstrated, most of the rhetoric over the trade issue is centered on China. But there are several bilateral and multilateral trade agreements that have been stalled or pending, and even some of those that could represent a net gain for U.S. export. I'm thinking, say, of the Korean one, in which an 8% tariff against auto parts and American auto parts and autos would be lifted. Should completing these be a top priority of the next Congress?
Yes, absolutely. When you add up all the countries that we have trade opening agreements with right now, they're about 7% of the GDP of the world. So about 7% of the world economy we have a trade opening agreement with. We send 41% of our exports to those countries. My opponent's opposed to all those agreements. In fact, he wants to renegotiate those agreements They're absolutely critical to Ohio. 25% of factory jobs in Ohio are now export jobs. 360,000 Ohioans depend on exports for their jobs. One of every 3 acres is now planted for export. And yet he's against all these trade opening agreements. If tomorrow we were able to ratify these agreements that Ray just talked about, we could create thousands of new jobs here in the state of Ohio. Again, our focus ought to be laser-like on how do we help get Ohio back on track. And part of the way you do that is you increase exports. At the same time, you increase enforcement. It's really pretty simple. I think because he's supported by special interest groups that won't let him do it, Lieutenant Governor Fisher is against all these agreements. It's unbelievable. They're commercial no-brainers in the sense that they lower tariffs, just as Ray Kuklis just said. The tariffs on auto parts go down to zero. The tariffs on our soybean and corn that we can sell from Ohio go down to zero. We are one of the greatest exporters in the country in terms of our manufactured products. It's one reason we still have a relatively strong manufacturing base here, despite all the job losses that have happened under Lieutenant Governor Fisher. He now wants to take that away? That makes no sense. We need to do everything we can to create more jobs and opportunities here in Ohio. And part of that is opening up other markets for our products, for our workers, for our farmers, for our service providers, and being sure that that trade is fair. If we do that, we can help get Ohio back on track.
Mr. Fisher, your response.
Ray, I think that we should be exporting more goods, not less. But unfortunately, the way that Congressman Portman has done this over the years is he thinks that it's worth paying the price of exporting jobs at the same time. That's not fair trade. That's free, unregulated, unfettered trade, and that doesn't work. I want to make sure that we're focusing on letting us have access to the world and export our goods, our agricultural goods, our manufacturing goods. But you can't let them play us. And that's what China and all these other countries that we're talking about tonight, or at least most of them, are doing. We can't get our cars into Korea. And even after this trade agreement, based on the way it's written today, we're still not going to be able to get as many of our cars into Korea as they'll get here. This is about fairness. You can't have trade where you're trying to fill a bucket and the bottom of the bucket is not there. The bottom line is that, think about this, for every $1 that we're exporting to China, they're exporting more than $5 back to us. Does that sound fair to you? No, it means people get out of work.
David, you have the seventh question for Mr. Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, you've said many times that you're proud that as Lieutenant Governor you've helped save thousands of jobs. During that same time, the state, as has been mentioned a number of times, has a net loss of nearly 400,000 jobs. You largely blame the Bush administration policies and Wall Street for those losses. How can you accept credit for saving jobs, yet accept no blame for the jobs that were lost?
David, 97% of those jobs were lost during this recession, caused by Congressman Portman's policies. They gave tax breaks to large companies to send jobs overseas. They gave tax breaks to millionaires but squeezed the middle class, that deregulated Wall Street, and that gave China an unfair advantage over Ohio. That's why we lost the jobs. So what do you do in the middle of a recession? Do you go down in the basement and just say, we're just going to wait and pray for a better day? No, here's what we did. We went to V&M Star in the Mahoning Valley. We went to GM Lordstown in the Mahoning Valley. We went to NetJets here in Columbus. We went to Norwalk Furniture. We went to Goodyear. We went to Bridgestone Firestone. The list goes on and on and on. All these companies, David, were thinking of leaving. And what did we do? We actually didn't just tour a factory. What we did is we went in and we negotiated and convinced them to stay and in many cases to expand. We saved jobs. The most important thing you want from your leaders in the middle of an economic storm is not complaining, it's not whining, it's getting the job done. And yes, until we change the federal policies, you're right, because 8 million jobs were lost nationwide. No one governor or lieutenant governor is going to do it alone, but we've done far better than most other states. We're the sixth fastest growing economy in the nation, according to the Federal Reserve Bank. Does that mean we should be satisfied? Of course not. Too many people watching tonight are out of work. But at least they'll have the satisfaction of knowing that here's a guy who was in there for 20 years, hasn't been on the ground until he ran for office and toured some factories of his friends. And here's somebody, when the wind's in his face, is on the ground, going and working to save jobs and create jobs in the middle of the storm that he caused. That's the difference between the two of us. If you want somebody who talks the talk and wants somebody who was in D.C. for 20 years creating the policies that put people out of work, he's your guy. But if you want somebody who doesn't whine and complain but gets on the field and actually saves and creates jobs everywhere in this state, despite those economic wins. I hope you'll support Lee Fisher.
Mr. Portman, your response.
Well, if you have been on the field, it certainly hasn't been a productive game for you. I mean, unbelievable. We have lost, it's actually over 400,000 jobs. And let me give you an interesting date, David. In June 2007, I started in the private sector in Cincinnati, having before that time been in Congress and, as Lieutenant Governor Fisher said, been in the administration. From June 2007, when I got into the private sector, practicing law again, small business owner, teaching at Ohio State University, back involved in my community, June 2007 till now, we've lost 400,000 jobs. That might surprise you given what he just said. So, look, I've been here on the ground. I've actually been in the private sector trying to create opportunity at a time when Ohio has fallen behind. I mean, again, the numbers don't lie. He has said a number of times tonight that, you know, we're far better off than other states. How can you say we're far better off than other states? Over 40 states have a lower unemployment rate than the state of Ohio. We continue to lose companies and jobs. Pluto Blade did a great job talking about it.
Thank you, Mr. Portman.
We keep losing competition with other states because we're not doing the right things.
Daryl, you have the eighth question for Mr. Portman.
Mr. Portman, you oppose setting a timetable for withdrawing American troops from Afghanistan. However, do you think the American people support an open-ended commitment? And how will we know when we've won in Afghanistan?
I think the American people support not having Afghanistan become a safe haven for terrorism again because they saw what happened. They know if we have a platform for terrorism in Afghanistan, we once again subject ourselves to the possibility of another horrific attack like 9/11. I think it is totally irresponsible to take the position that my opponent takes and that President Obama takes, frankly, which is to say that there will be an arbitrary date set for withdrawal of the troops. It's next summer. That's being broadcasted not just to our allies, but also to our enemies. So the Taliban knows that. Al-Qaeda knows that. They'll wait us out. Talk to the military. They don't support that because they know it undercuts our mission right now. It makes it more dangerous for our troops who are there. It keeps us from having the success that we have to have, and that's to be sure that Afghanistan does not become, again, a platform for terrorism, a safe haven for people to launch attacks on the United States and other freedom-loving people around the world. But this is my opponent's position. He did not support President Obama. I did. But now he's saying that he wants to have an arbitrary deadline, entirely based on politics, not based on what's best for our troops and based for the national security of our country.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, your response.
You know, there's no more sacred duty for a member of the U.S. Senate than to keep our country safe and secure. The issue is how we do it. If we've learned anything since 9/11, it's that fighting Al-Qaeda and the terrorists around the world requires not conventional warfare. It requires a strategic warfare that does two things. Goes after them, but also do it in a way that is strategic, laser-like, and doesn't put so many of our men and women at risk. Using predator drones, using elite forces, using special forces, we can do this. And we should never, ever, ever give up the fight against terrorism. But to send 30,000 more men and women to Afghanistan when we can use the men and women right there to train the Afghan military and police to protect themselves, that's what we should be doing. I do not support nation building. I support nation helping. And unfortunately, we've crossed that line. And now it's time to come home and build our own nation and get people back to work.
Daryl, you get the next question also, and that's for Mr. Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, as you may know, just a few hours ago, a federal judge in California declared unconstitutional the military's don't ask, don't tell policy. Now, that's something that you have opposed, so I'd like to hear your explanation why you have opposed that. But could you also explain your position on gay marriage, where you did change your position earlier this year?
Sure. You know, if someone puts on the uniform of the United States of America and says that they are willing to risk their life for all of us, it shouldn't matter what religion they have. It shouldn't matter what color of skin. It shouldn't matter their sexual orientation. We should be thanking them. We shouldn't be discriminating against them and hurting them. And I don't think the federal government has any business getting in the way of two people want to make a commitment for the rest of their life. But I'll tell you what the government should be involved in. It should be helping people get back to work. Because when it comes down to all of this, and we talk about equal rights and human rights, I learned something at the Center for Families and Children, Daryl. I ran it for 7 years. I was out of politics. I have not been the career politician that he says I am, because the truth is I spent a lot of time
just working with men and women struggling to get back on their feet for 7 years, and I learned that a job for them wasn't just a paycheck. It was hope. It was dignity. It was purpose in someone's life. That's why every single day, if we really want to focus on equal rights and human rights, we need to focus on making sure that people have good jobs at good wages. They can't be shipped overseas. We got to stop depending on the Middle East for our oil. We got to stop depending on China for our debt. And we got to start doing what we teach our children. Be self-reliant. Depend on ourselves. Make our own things. Do our own things. Invent our own things. Innovate our own things. Go from steel to wind turbines. Go from the glass in Toledo to solar panels like at Sunlight. Go to the rubber in Akron and move that to polymers and advanced materials that make things lighter and stronger at the same time. That's what we need to do. So bottom line, human rights, equal rights, that's what our country was founded on. But the ultimate human right, the ultimate equal right, is giving somebody the chance to have that dignity and a paycheck and a job to support their family.
Mr. Portman, your response.
Well, I think you asked about don't ask, don't tell. And my answer to that's pretty simple. Let the military decide. Right now, there's a military commission that's been formed to look into this issue. The Joint Chiefs of Staff has very deep concerns about changing the policy because of the morale of our troops. When you're in the middle of two wars, I don't think you take a political position, which is what my opponent has done. He doesn't care what the military thinks. He's decided he's going to make the decision for them. I would follow what the military thinks is best. The commanders in the field are much better equipped to do it. And in terms of the other part of the answer about jobs, I couldn't agree with Lieutenant Governor Fisher more. That's why he shouldn't be supporting the Pelosi-Reid-Obama agenda. Think about it. Talk to anybody in Ohio about health care costs right now. They will tell you that the costs are going up, and they're mad about it, and they're angry about it, and they should be, and particularly angry because the new legislation makes it worse, not better. There's nothing in that legislation to reduce costs. And yet, Lieutenant Governor Fisher strongly supported it. In fact, he thought it didn't go far enough, that we should actually have a public option or a government-run program. This is a job killer in Ohio. That's what I'm finding as I do these visits, and they're very important visits. I've done over 70 of them at plants all over Ohio.
Dave, the 10th question is from you for Mr. Portman.
I'd actually like to address this to both of you. You both call yourself bipartisan. First, Mr. Portman, what was the best piece of legislation signed into law by the Obama administration? And then, Mr. Fisher, what was the best piece of legislation signed into law by the Bush administration?
Wow. The Obama administration hasn't passed a whole lot of legislation that I support because I think, again, what they have done in terms of the stimulus package, the health care legislation, the financial services regulation, it's going to make it harder to create jobs here in America. It already is. So if you look at the administration and the approach that they have taken, they've basically said, we're going to go to the Democrats in Congress, have them decide what the right thing is to do, and not get in the way. That's not what President Obama campaigned on, by the way. I thought his campaign message was very compelling. He said he wanted to bring people together to solve problems. He was going to take ideas from both the Republicans and the Democrats and find common ground. That's the right approach. Instead, with the stimulus package, which was the starting point, he said we're going to let the House Democrats write it. And guess what? There wasn't a single Republican vote because none of their ideas were included. And it was a big government approach that expanded the size and scope of the federal government more than it focused on private sector jobs, including a lot of wish list items of Democrat spending that couldn't pass under the regular process, so it was brought in under the emergency spending provisions. Same thing on health care. The president did not intervene to make that a bipartisan product. Instead, that was jammed through the system. As everybody knows, there were a lot of payoffs given for people's votes on that. And at the end of the day, even the Senate 60 votes is normally necessary was foregone for a mere 51 votes in order to jam it through the system. What's happened? Frankly, these proposals aren't working because they didn't have a balanced input from both sides. I think what we need in Washington right now is for Republicans and Democrats to work together to solve these problems because you're going to end up with better legislation. You're going to end up with something that does focus on job growth rather than making it more difficult to create a job. If you look at what's happened in Ohio, after the stimulus package was signed into law, we lost almost 150,000 jobs. We lost jobs again last month. Now, this is not working for us. If it had focused instead on providing tax relief to small businesses and providing more money for infrastructure, for roads and bridges, that creates private sector jobs that then helps on economic development, it would have made a big difference. And if it had been a balanced product and a balanced process, that would have happened.
Mr. Fisher, your response?
What you just heard was the typical Washington answer. Somebody who says he's bipartisan but in an entire 2 minutes couldn't find one thing that he could agree with. Doesn't sound too bipartisan to me. sounds like a rubber stamp party line guy who's going to go there and oppose everything the Democrats do. Well, I'll answer your question. I don't think George Bush was a good president, but did he do some good things? Of course he did. One of the things he did that was good was give the middle class a tax cut. And you know what? We should extend it. I think it is a great idea. In fact, we should make it permanent. But the bad idea was giving a tax cut to the millionaires and billionaires who don't need it to buy a second vacation home or to buy a yacht. I'd rather use that money to reduce the deficit, to put people back to work. I thought he did a great job with the child care tax credit, something we should continue. I supported that. But since Congressman Portman is having such a tough time finding good things in President Obama, let me remind him that in that Recovery Act, the largest income tax we've had cut in a long time for 95% of Americans. He doesn't like the fact we saved the jobs of teachers and police and firefighters. I do.
Ray, you have the next question for Mr. Fisher.
Okay, on a slightly different subject, Mr. Fisher. On Monday, President Obama signed legislation to revamp America's manned space program. I think we're going to an asteroid now. But it's unclear whether Congress is actually going to fund it. Given the nation's long-term fiscal problems and some of the things you both alluded to tonight, what role do you think space exploration should play in America's future? Can we afford it, and can we afford not to do it?
No, we can afford not to do it. And I should say, well, here's what I mean. Space exploration is searching for the next frontier. In 1957, the Russians launched something called Sputnik, and it made us realize we were behind. And John F. Kennedy, to his credit, started to explore space. America is all about exploring new frontiers. We have NASA Glenn in northern Ohio. We have Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton. Aerospace was actually born and invented right here in Ohio. Absolutely, we should be investing in it. And frankly, I've been disappointed in the Obama administration that I don't think they're doing enough, not just to support the men and women in Ohio who are employed at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, who are employed at the Air Force Research Institute, who are employed at NASA Glenn, at Plum Brook in Sandusky, but even more importantly, because if you don't innovate, if you don't experiment, if you don't invest in the future, you fall behind. And we're already falling behind China. I don't want to fall further behind. So how we spend the money, of course, we've got to spend it in a strategic way. But to back up now, when we have the opportunity to explore new frontiers, I want to do it. It'll mean jobs for Ohio. It'll be new technologies. And it may even mean some things that we've never even imagined before. You know, today we're educating young men and women for jobs that do not yet exist, using technologies that haven't yet been invented to solve problems that none of us in this studio tonight even knows a problem. That's not a challenge. That's an opportunity. And that's what space exploration is like. So absolutely should we be making that investment. It'll be good for America, and it'll be very, very good for Ohio.
Mr. Portman, your response.
We need to make sure it's the right kind of investment. And the legislation that you just referred to, Ray, is legislation that's not good for Ohio because it actually is going to hurt the NASA Glenn facility, which is a tremendous research facility outside of Cleveland. It also hurts Plum Brook, which is another facility near Sandusky, Ohio. It's going to make it harder for us to create jobs and opportunity here in Ohio. More importantly, it's not good for our economy because we ought to be focusing on research that can help in terms of the space program, but also can help in terms of private sector job growth and moving America forward in research and technology and development. So that legislation is not the right kind of legislation. What would be the right kind of legislation would be legislation that focused on leveraging the great resources we have in states like Ohio. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is here. GE Aircraft Engines is here. Again, a great NASA Glenn research institution is here. So I think it needs to be wisely spent. Earlier, Lieutenant Governor Fisher talked about raising taxes and said this is all for millionaires. He should know that Ohio small businesses mostly pay their taxes as individuals. And the business I visited today and dozens of other businesses that I visited over the last month do not want to see their taxes go up at year end as he is proposing.
Jim, the next question you'll ask for Mr. Portman.
Mr. Portman. You have advocated replacing the health care law approved earlier this year with a new measure combining some of the current provisions with new ones. However, the Congressional Budget Office says the Republican House alternative, similar to your proposal, would cover only an additional 3 million Americans without health insurance. That compares to about 30 million under the law supported by President Obama and your opponent. How can you call anything health care reform unless significantly more Americans who lack health insurance are covered?
Well, Jim, good question. First of all, the health care legislation that was passed is bad in terms of covering more people because it's more expensive. I mean, look at what's happened in terms of this health care legislation in terms of covering people with pre-existing conditions. Every state has been disappointed that they haven't been able to cover more people. Instead of tens of thousands, it's been a few hundred. Why? Because the costs are so high. So part of the way you cover more people in health care is you start to contain the costs of health care. We have the most expensive health care system in the world. This legislation does nothing to address that. In fact, it increases the cost of health care. In terms of covering people who are not insured, Jim, what I've supported is tax credits that are refundable that would have a much greater impact than the analysis that you just talked about from the Congressional Budget Office. Why? Because people, even without an income tax liability, would have the ability to have some of the same tax advantages you get when you go to work and you get a subsidy for your health care, and they would then be able to provide health care for themselves and their families. But ultimately, this legislation is flawed because it doesn't address the essential issue of cost. It also does a lot of other things that hurt Ohioans. Seniors in Ohio really like this Medicare Advantage program. There are over 600,000 Ohio seniors who have Medicare Advantage. The legislation that my opponent so strongly supported, in fact, he thought it didn't go far enough, takes those benefits away from seniors who are under Medicare Advantage. I talked to one last week who told me, Rob, I don't know why the government is discouraging me from staying in Medicare Advantage. My premium just went up over 50%. Now, the reason is because they wanted more money in the health care bill, so they took away the reimbursement for Ohio seniors, over 600,000 of them, who, by the way, have a very high satisfaction rate with Medicare Advantage. That's not the right thing to do. The health care legislation also hurts small businesses in Ohio. According to the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which has endorsed me, supports Ohio small businesses, in the health care bill, there's a new requirement on federal paperwork that's going to increase their costs of paperwork by five times. This is having to file a so-called 1099 form for every purchase you make over $600. It's a killer for small business. So there was a much better way, Jim, to cover more people and to reduce the costs of health care. And that's what I would fight for if I was elected to the United States Senate.
Mr. Fisher, your response?
That answer from Congressman Portman, paid for by America's healthcare industry, who can't wait to have Congressman Portman go to the Senate and repeal healthcare reform. And what will be the result? It'll mean that the insurance companies will be back in charge of your healthcare decisions. Finally, healthcare decisions are made by you, not by the insurance companies. Now they can't deny you because you have a pre-existing condition. Now, if you want to get a mammogram, you don't have to pay for it, thank goodness, because that's a preventive service. No, this bill isn't perfect. Of course not. But he's dead wrong when he talks about the seniors. 27,000 more Ohio seniors are going to get and be able to afford their prescription drugs because of this bill. He just hasn't done his homework. That's what we call Washington math. He just takes the boilerplate language from the Republican Party and just spews it out, but he doesn't do his research. He doesn't do his homework. And, you know, a good legislator doesn't repeal something. They improve it. He wants to repeal Wall Street reform, put Wall Street banks in charge. He wants to repeal health care reform, put insurance companies back in charge. Bad, bad idea.
Jim, the next question you'll ask to Mr. Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, if faced in the future with exactly the same economic circumstances that faced us in late 2008, with critical banks on the verge of collapse, would you vote for a TARP-like bailout?
No way, based upon the way it was done. And I'll tell you why. There was no requirement that when these banks got the money, that they loaned it to small businesses. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't talk to a small business owner who says to me, Lee, I paid my bills on time. I've never missed a payment. I'm a responsible businesswoman. I'm a responsible businessman. I go to these banks who have been my bankers, not for 10 years, but for 30 years. And they have more money today, not less, more money because of the Wall Street bank bailout. And guess what? They will not give me a loan, despite the fact that nothing is different today. I still pay my bills on time. That is unconscionable. 98% of the employers in our state are small business women and men. We both come from families of small business. My grandparents came to New Philadelphia, Ohio, and started a women's dress shop. My wife, Peggy, who is here tonight, ran a small business for 30 years. That's where I want to focus. That's why I was so amazed that Congressman Portman took the opposite position of his friend, Senator Voinovich, and opposed the small business bill that will give tax cuts to those small businesses, that will finally get loans out the doors to those small businesses, and that will finally help those small businesses not just survive, but to grow and to expand. He had an opportunity to show that he was independent.
and to show that he doesn't just talk about small business, but he really wants to support them. He could have done what Senator Voinovich did just in the last few weeks and say, you know what, enough with this partisanship, enough with this partisan talking points. These small businesses got shortchanged when the Wall Street banks got bailed out. Enough is enough. So the bottom line is, unless there were strings that said small businesses got loans, there's no way that I would have supported. The other thing I want to say this to you. You keep hearing Congressman Portman talking tonight about increasing taxes. Well, let me translate it for all of you. When you close loopholes for millionaires and for big corporations, he calls them tax increases. I call them closing loopholes for the big guys.
Mr. Portman, your response.
Raising taxes is not closing loopholes. You want to raise taxes for small businesses in Ohio. Look, Jim, he's just given you a really interesting answer on this TARP issue. He just supported another TARP program. The reason the head of the Consumer Finance Agency that President Obama just set up opposed the very bill he's talking about that's so great to help small businesses is because it's another TARP. It's actually asking us as taxpayers to spend $30 billion of taxpayer money to buy the stocks of banks. And the reason, again, this is being opposed by a lot of people. Senator Voinovich was the Republican who supported it, but the rest didn't. And the reason, again, this head of the new consumer agency opposes it is that there's no evidence that it worked in TARP. It's another TARP-type program. In other words, there's no evidence that the money is actually going to get out to the businesses. What did I support instead? I supported having a guarantee through the Small Business Administration, increasing the guarantee amount, providing more funding to be sure that banks get the money out to small businesses so we can actually address this problem, but not to find ourselves again in another TARP-like situation. That's exactly what he supported.
Thank you, Mr.
So he didn't support the last one?
You're done.
And now he's saying he supports another one.
Thank you, gentlemen. Now, that concludes the question portion of this debate. It is now time for the candidates' closing statements. And, Mr. Portman, you have 2 minutes.
Great. Thank you very much, Jerry. And I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to present what you've seen tonight, which is two very different approaches and two very different visions for the future of our great state and for our country. Look, Ohio's in tough times. I've been all over the state. I've seen communities devastated by job loss, families devastated. I've seen it in Wilmington, Ohio, here in Columbus, in Toledo, Dayton, Cleveland, Portsmouth, Ohio. It's a tough time right now for Ohio. And frankly, what we've heard tonight from Lieutenant Governor Fisher persuades me that what he's talking about is making life even tougher because he's not supporting the kinds of proposals that are going to get us back on our feet. But you know what I've also found is I've been all around the state of Ohio in all 88 counties, over 70 factory visits, talking to workers, talking to small business owners. I found that the people of Ohio are really resilient. There's still a lot of potential in Ohio. The invention, the entrepreneurship, the innovation, the work ethic of Ohio is still there. We just need better leadership and better policies. We can get back on our feet, and that encourages me. I want to thank the many thousands of Ohioans who have been so generous to me over the 21 months of this campaign. You've allowed me to come into your homes, on your farms, in your schools, in your factories, in your businesses, in your churches. I appreciate that. I also appreciate all the people who have given us input, all the small business owners all over the state who have given us input on the Portman Plan for Jobs. I appreciate all the volunteers who have helped. I appreciate the mom who's unemployed in Cleveland, Ohio, who goes down to the Victory Center two or three nights a week to make calls on my behalf. And I want to say tonight that although this has been a hard-fought campaign, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the times I've had with Lieutenant Governor Fisher to talk about these issues. And I want to tell him tonight that although I can't say that I hope you win the election, I do wish you and your family the very best over the next few weeks. I also want to thank my family. My wife, Jane, is here tonight. They've been an incredible support for me. And I'd like to ask my fellow Buckeyes for their vote tonight. I hope you'll help me with this cause to try to get Ohio back on its feet and turning things around in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, your closing statement.
Congressman Portman, I think it's fair to say that we like each other. Hopefully we still respect each other. We both have wonderful families. The issue here, though, isn't who is the more decent, honest man, because I'd like to think of that would be a tie. The issue is whether we're in touch with the needs of the people of our state. And when we go to Washington, D.C., whether or not we're going to represent them or that we're going to represent those people that he represented for 20 years. You know, I have to say that I think Congressman Portman is a nice man, but I think he's also out of touch. You know, he opposes unemployment benefits for people out of work.
but he supports tax cuts for millionaires. I don't get that. He says that he wants to help the small businesses, but he has every opportunity to help them just recently and opposed the tax cuts and loans for small businesses. You know, I think that you also have to look, what did he learn during those 20 years? He said, on the record, that we'd be in and out of Iraq in 2 years. He said, on the record, those subprime loans that helped cause this recession, they were a small part of the economy. He said that privatizing Social Security, putting your Social Security and handing it over to Wall Street would be, quote, safe and guaranteed. I think that sounds like somebody who has spent too many years, 20 years, in Washington, D.C., and they can't wait to have them back. I know that. Well, I've spent a lot of time on the back roads of Ohio, not the hallowed halls of Washington, D.C. And this Senate seat is simply not for sale. It doesn't belong to the Wall Street banks who are paying for his campaign. It doesn't belong to the Washington lobbyists. It belongs to you. I'm Lee Fisher. Unlike Congressman Portman, I'm not satisfied. And I want to fight for you, your families, your jobs, and most of all, your future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. That concludes this senatorial debate. You can watch a rebroadcast of this debate Sunday at 8 on the Ohio News Network. You can also log on to onntv.com or 10tv.com and watch the entire debate. It's been a privilege for ONN and WBNS 10TV to produce this debate with the Ohio Newspaper Organization. Thank you to the candidates, to WOSU at COSI for hosting this event, and to our viewers for joining us this evening. And don't forget to vote November 2nd. Good night.